Thank you to everyone listening to this episode. We are now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, YouTube, Audible, and on any other app that you can find podcasts on. Please like, subscribe, or leave a comment. We would love to hear from you. Please feel free to share this episode with the people in your life that could benefit from this podcast. All of our episodes can also be found on our website at www.theinfiniteinquirypodcast.com. If there are particular topics that you would like to hear about, please send an email to contact@theinfiniteinquirypodcast.com. Welcome back to the Infinite Inquiry Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Jones. I would like to begin with a quote from the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. He writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Today we are going to talk about addiction. But before we get started, I think it's important to acknowledge that almost everything we think we know about addiction is wrong. I was listening to Pastor Matt Chandler on the Village Church podcast the other day, and he laid out some very startling statistics from Pew Research and National Institutes of Health, and along with some stats from his church. At least 4 in 10 adults, 41%, have experienced higher levels of psychological distress in the last 2 or 3 years. Another stat that he laid out was that more than a third of high school students have reported mental health challenges, and 44% of teens reported having feelings of persistent sadness or hopelessness. The results stated at the end, and I quote, "Today, there are few friendships, lack of connections, meaning, and purpose. People feel unseen, and this has created a culture of emptiness," end quote. Well, where am I going with this? We will come back to these stats in a bit, but it is clear that in the years since March of 2020, when the COVID pandemic hit, people have felt more isolated than ever. So, my question is, what is the opposite of addiction? Sobriety, right? Well, not exactly. The opposite of addiction is actually not sobriety. So let's take a deep dive first into the human psyche. Pornography, alcohol, drugs, gambling, fornication, adultery, all of those things people struggle with. As human beings, we crave the dopamine hit we get from things like this, as well as from being addicted to our phones, social media, and other forms of entertainment. The easy rush of adrenaline is itself addicting. So, what is the opposite of addiction? In exploring the factors contributing to addiction, I would like to summarize first the insights presented by researcher Johan Hari in his book, Chasing the Scream. The conventional question of what causes addiction may seem straightforward. We sometimes assume that it is just some sort of personality flaw, an addictive personality, we would say, or the leanings of a weak mind that cause a person to be addicted to something. Conventional wisdom would say that these are the people who get addicted to heroin, right? Let's look at how we view addictive, illegal drugs like heroin. The physical craving for the drug arises due to chemical hooks after around 20 days of use. So, on day 21, you should be a full-blown addict, right? That is what I've always assumed, and that's what conventional wisdom has always told us ever since I can remember. However, there's a twist. Consider this. If you break a bone and you go to the hospital, you receive a potent form of heroin in the hospital. Yet people don't become addicts in this medically supervised context. In order to broaden our understanding of addiction, we need to look back at experiments in the 20th century involving rats that were given a choice between regular water and water laced with drugs. This experiment was called Rat City. In this experiment, The researcher placed isolated rats that had nothing in their cages except two water bottles. One water bottle was just water. The other bottle was water laced with potent drugs that would make those rats as high as a kite. The rats were isolated, each in their own cages. They were all alone. Those rats consistently leaned towards the drug-laced water, exhibiting compulsive behaviors in going for the drug-laced water, which would lead to death. They would all actually kill themselves. The isolated rats all overdosed on the drug-laced water. However, Professor Bruce Alexander observed a different outcome when the rats were provided with an enriched environment, which he dubbed Rat City, offering stimulation and companionship. In this other cage, rats were free to roam around and were surrounded by friends and had lots of tunnels to go through and toys to play with. It was almost like a rat heaven. They spent their time in community together with the other rats, building bonds, having sex, and enjoying each other's company. In this setting, rats rarely consumed the drug-laced water, even though they had it available to them, and instead preferred the regular water. There were zero overdoses. What the heck? Even though they had all tasted the drug-laced water, none of them preferred it. They didn't need it. This completely challenged the assumption that addiction is solely chemical. A parallel human experiment was also done. It was called the Vietnam War. During the war, lots of soldiers were doing heroin in order to escape the reality that they might either kill or be killed at any given moment. And given those circumstances, I can see why they would turn to this drug. However, the Vietnam War revealed that troops using heroin didn't succumb to addiction upon returning home. Contrary to expectations, 95% of soldiers stopped using heroin without rehabilitation or withdrawal symptoms. This aligns with Professor Alexander's theory that environment plays a crucial role in addiction. The need to rethink addiction becomes apparent, considering it is a symptom of a broader crisis of disconnection. The decline in social connection since the 1950s, coupled with an increased focus on material possessions, exacerbates this issue today. So let's fast forward to the present. Everyone in your break room at work right now is on their phones, and they're usually not talking to one another. When if we look back just a few years to, let's say, 2007, before the first iPhone was released, people would actually communicate. We are isolating in part because of technology. This also translates to homes as well. Just go to a restaurant, look around you the next time you're eating. How many families, just look at how many kids are on iPads, how many parents are on their phones. We are connected more than ever through technology with people around the world, but it is a false connection. It is not a true human connection. The result is that we feel alone now more than ever. We have substituted genuine human connection for something else. The key insight here is that the opposite of addiction isn't just sobriety, but fundamentally, it's connection. Building a society that resembles Rat Park, promoting interconnectedness over isolation, is essential to overcoming the challenges posed by addiction. We have to build a society that looks a lot more like Rat Park and less like those isolated cages that the other rats were in. We are going to have to change the unnatural way we live and rediscover each other. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. In the Genesis account of God creating the world, each day of creation, he would end by saying, "It is good." Now let's look at the first time God said the words, "It is not good." Adam, the first man ever created, was living in a sinless paradise and was walking with God and talking to him in the cool of the day, just as if you would walk next to your friend and talk to him. Even with all of that and living in the Garden of Eden, God saw that there was something that wasn't good. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Even though Adam was literally walking with God, the Lord saw that he was incomplete without other human connection and fellowship, so God made him Eve. Think about that statement. The first pronouncement by God of something that isn't good was isolation. It was lack of human connection. I think about how flawed our theology can be sometimes. I've heard worship songs that say, "All I need is you, Lord. All I need is you, Lord. All I need is you." The truth is, yes, we all need Him, but He isn't all we need. We also need each other. I'm reminded of the Tom Hanks movie called Castaway. This is a fantastic movie that has Tom Hanks' character stranded on a desert island by himself in complete isolation for over 4 years after a plane crash. In the movie, Hanks draws a human face on a volleyball and calls him Wilson. Hanks talks with him like a friend and even risks his life in the ocean to try to get Wilson back when he's floating away. When he can't get to this volleyball, he weeps bitterly. Why? He had attached human connection to that object in order to mentally survive for 4 years. That was his connection. When I was in my criminal justice classes in college, I remember my professor, Dr. Walsh, talking with us about a study of inmates in prisons who had been placed into solitary confinement. What was the result? The result is that most of the inmates would soon begin talking to themselves. Even 100% of mentally healthy inmates would develop some form of mental illness after just a month of being in solitary confinement. That means that any of us, no matter how mentally healthy we are, if placed in solitary confinement, we would become mentally ill after just a few weeks. God knew from the beginning an important truth that we are starting to forget in the information age that we are living in. Humans need 4 things to survive, right? Food, oxygen, water, and shelter. Actually, there is one more thing that God showed us at the beginning. It's connection. Like the isolated rats in the cage, if you gave any of those inmates in solitary confinement the choice between the 2 water bottles, which one do you think they would choose? The drug-infused water, no doubt. Connection is the opposite of addiction. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reiterates this notion when he says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." Connection just for the sake of connection can be a very bad thing, too. It depends on who you connect with. As the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, evil companions corrupt good morals. It is possible to connect with the wrong people and ruin your life. I read a meme the other day that said, "The wrong relationship can destroy your relationship with God faster than drugs and alcohol." So while we absolutely need real human connections, it is critical that we pick the right connections. Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." And while we often use that verse as a prescription for marriage, but if you look at that verse in its context, Paul does not mention marriage. He's talking about how we are to live our daily lives. Does that mean that we must shun people who aren't believers? Not at all. Jesus interacted with the crowds, with the Romans, even with people who hated him. But his close communion was with his 12 disciples. And even more than that, his innermost circle, his closest communion, was just with 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John. So, if you look at your life right now, who is your closest communion with? Remember, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. If you're too young to understand that reference, The Lone Ranger was a TV show when I was young about a guy who roamed around by himself, sometimes with a sidekick named Tonto, and he would help bring order to a town. But he was called the Lone Ranger because he was isolated. As Christians, we can't be isolated. We need other Christians. If you aren't meeting weekly in a church, in a small group, or have a Christian mentor, etc., things like this, you are missing out. Right now, I meet every Friday with a group of Christian men and have breakfast. We talk theology, but also just enjoy each other's company. If you aren't having regular weekly fellowship with other Christians, you are absolutely missing out. I look forward to those meetings every week, as well as my time at church with my friends on Sundays. In doing so, I feel less isolated and subsequently less of a pull for any sort of addiction that might try to creep into my life. I'm truly blessed to have some amazing friends that I can connect with weekly. I have other Christian friends that live in other cities that I try to connect with from time to time as well. If you are currently struggling with an addiction, and if you truly want to break free, then meet other Christians by getting active in ministry and start serving in some capacity. It doesn't have to be serving from behind a pulpit. It can be a podcast, or art, or a sport, or something to do with your work, or whatever you're good at. God gave you all of those talents and abilities and interests for a reason. use them for His glory. On a previous episode, I had my son on, who I'm very proud of, by the way, and he asked about how he could possibly use his saxophone to glorify God. We told that story, and when he had asked, that Sunday there was a saxophone player on the praise team at our church for the first time. So yes, you can minister to God's people with anything in your life. Get creative. If you do these things and build up Christ and are in community with other believers, sin will become less and less prevalent in your life. In doing so, you will make some meaningful connections with people and have a lot of fun in the process, and you'll see your life begin to transform. The scripture says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." So choose the right connections. Paul said that we are to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Remember that if Adam, who was living in a completely sin-free environment, in a perfect paradise with God, still needed companionship and community with other humans, then so do you. Christians need other Christians. Iron sharpens iron. In building these connections with other believers, you will be enabled to tear down strongholds of addiction in your life and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are your strongholds? What are you currently addicted to? Is it drugs, pornography, alcohol, gambling, fornication? The scripture says that we are to lay aside every weight and malice and the sin that so easily besets us. Well, how do you do that? Some people pray, fast, read the scriptures, play worship music. All of that is good and beneficial as we look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But sometimes people doing those things forget a very important piece of the puzzle, and that is building connections in the community of other believers. I've been guilty of this in the past, and I can truly testify to the truth of all of this, that in order to truly break free from harmful addictions and serve Christ, you need other people to walk alongside you. The reason the attraction of that dopamine rush is so powerful in your life is because you are not in community. Isolation creates boredom and stress, which will lead you to bond with something. If you're an introvert and the thought of being in a large crowd of people terrifies you, then find a small church. In my experience, those are usually the best anyway. It is easy to get lost in a megachurch. Not that I have anything against megachurches. They do a great service and a lot of good things come from them. But people often go in and leave afterward without talking to anyone. I would know because I've done that myself. In such a case, we've absolutely missed the mark. I like that my church that I currently go to is very small. The pastor knows my name and knows something about me. All of the other leaders of the church know who I am as well. If I walk in the door, there is a 100% chance that somebody's going to stop and talk with me. Additionally, I have a mentor in my life that I confess everything to, even the things that I don't want to confess. That helps me tremendously. The scripture says that we are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. Remember that human connection is key in your life, and no, your pet doesn't count. I have a cat named Zeus, and as cool and fun as he is, he can never provide the same connectedness that I get from fellowshipping with other believers. The antidote for a culture of emptiness and despair is being in community with other Christians. What is the opposite of addiction? Connection. What is the best way to find those connections? A community of believers. If you are really struggling with addiction right now, remember that we are already made more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Jesus loves you and is cheering you on. The most profound thought that has ever entered a human mind is this: Jesus loves me, this I know. Even though we don't deserve it, the cross lies behind us, heaven lies before us, and the Spirit dwells within us. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness by sacrificing Himself on the cross for our sins and then bodily rising from the dead on the third day. He then ascended to heaven and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is continually now making intercession for you and me. So let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let's serve Christ together and fulfill the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He prayed for us, He said, "Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one." Find a body of believers today if you have not. Join them, walk with them, and serve them. In doing so, you will break the bonds of addiction in your life as you find meaningful connections with those who love our Lord. May this truth guide you as we continue on this journey together in the infinite inquiry, which is the searching out of the knowledge of God and His holiness and the love of Christ, which surpasses all human knowledge. Amen.